Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron and special guest, Evan Dial, host of Player Watch. What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. What's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Evan, always a pleasure to have you on this podcast. I've been on Players Watch a couple times this summer. I love what you do over there.
Yeah, oh, Evan does a great job. Check it out, iTunes, you know, at OTGBasketball.com. And because we have Evan on, we're going to talk a little bit of players. Before that, you could check out the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But guys, let's talk about the top five players in each conference so far. We'll start with the East. Who's the first guy on your list, Evan?
I want to go Kawhi Leonard, even though he's rested for two games. But you can just feel his impact on the team. And the fact that I think he looks close, if not better, than 2 years ago near MVP winner Kawhi Leonard. And that team is a juggernaut now, and they obviously have a lot of good players, and they're really deep. But I think he brings them to another level. He's returned to a defensive monster. He's added some new scoring tricks. He's putting up huge numbers. And I think he's playing like the best player in the conference, and we could debate that a bit, but he's been incredible. I mean, I didn't know it would be this quick that he would reach this level, but it's been awesome to watch.
Yeah, I have Kawhi Leonard on my list as well. No doubt he's been outstanding to start this year. That Toronto Raptors team has a clear-cut identity, and it's led between him and Lowry in the defensive end, and then those two guys lead the offense. And as you mentioned, his offensive numbers are a lot higher than they were in San Antonio. He's getting more shots, more usage. The efficiency to start off the year wasn't necessarily Kawhi-like, but when you're getting given a bigger role and more usage, those numbers are due to dip a little bit. And I didn't think he looked 100% those first couple of weeks. You know, it kind of felt like he was playing like an old man style game almost, but he was just so smart that he could still do everything he wanted to do. But it definitely feels like he's getting more and more into game shape. Obviously missing an entire year, or playing nine games, basically missing an entire year, it's going to take a little bit of time to get back into full game shape.
Yeah. Kawhi top five for me as well, obviously in the East. And like Evan said, he's probably been the best player in the East. He just has a presence on the floor. You know, he caused a lot of problems for Ben Simmons last night, who I believe had 11 turnovers. You know, that elite defense definitely sticks out. 27-7-3 on 50% from the field, 44% from three. You know, he's just dominating out there. And like you guys said, with Kyle Lowry, with those defensive weapons, you know, Kawhi's going to be a guy in the MVP conversation mostly all year long. But who else you got, Evan?
Number two is Giannis, even though he missed the big game with the concussion. But, man, he's just been unleashed even more with Coach Budenholzer, who's done a great job for the whole team on both ends. I mean, he's just positionless. He can do anything you ask him for. He's been super aggressive and efficient at the same time, getting to the rim. His jump shot even looks a little better. I think he's doing a good job of passing out of double teams, finding open shooters, not forcing things. Then defensively, he could legitimately guard 1-5 and just wreck teams' offensive sets. So it's he's definitely an MVP candidate. Probably him and Davis are 1-2 right now, even though Davis got a little banged up. But, man, he's even stronger this year too, I think. People just can't handle him when he goes to the lane. It's just – it's ridiculous.
He's averaging 25, 14, and 5.7. Yeah, he's on my list as well. He's been outstanding, clearly in the MVP conversation. It's amazing how fast Budenholzer has been able to get this offense into, his kind of system where the ball is moving a lot of spacing. Because Antetokounmpo, with this much room to operate, surrounded by shooters, is just absolutely deadly. As you mentioned, his jump shot's better. And he's a bull. He got bigger. I didn't think a guy like him could get any bigger, any stronger than he did. I know I watched him against the Pacers a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he was pretty much just going through everybody. Thaddeus Young is probably the toughest defender we had, and on most possessions, Antetokounmpo went right through him. He's outstanding, and, yeah, he's been fun to watch.
Yeah, like you guys said, the versatility really sticks out for Giannis. You have him down in the post now that he's so big. You take one misstep, he's going to dunk on you. You know, we saw him already grab double-digit rebounds in most games. Like Corey said, he's averaging over 14 a game. Bucks obviously undefeated right now. Antetokounmpo is going to be a menace, and he's going to guy come playoff time you're not going to want to see. But who else we rolling with, Evan?
My guy, Kemba.
Yeah, he's been balling.
Oh, balling, outrageous. Last night he had one of his quieter nights, but still had a bunch of huge shots in the fourth quarter to put the Heat away. But he's averaging 30 points per game this season. His pull-up three, I mean, outside of Steph, has just become one of the best in the game. It's an absolutely deadly weapon. He's so good at setting up his just defenders to get smashed by screens. It's unbelievable. I think his craftiness is just very underrated. His handle is so good. He got stronger. And then what's benefited him the most is just the more spacing on the floor, Charlotte. I mean, without Dwight, MKG at the four, even five now, Marvin at the five. Now with shooters around him, he has room to operate pick and roll or just ISO. He's hit big shots for us. He sealed the game earlier at Miami in the season. He's a closer. I mean, he's before things people thought top 10, but now he's entering the top five discussion for point guards. He's been balling.
Kemba Walker, again, is on my list. Three for three so far. Yeah, he's been outstanding. I mean, he should be in the MVP conversation. I know he's not the the front runner, but what he's done in Charlotte, that Charlotte's team's off to a decent start. Like you mentioned, the pull-up jumpers, you know, he's shooting 41% from three, 46% from the field, 30 points per game. Guys from Charlotte don't normally put up these kind of numbers. Across the board, he's having a career start. And, you know, that Hornets team, for me at least, you know, I always have, I feel like, high expectations for them. They seem like a team this year that might actually make the playoffs because of Kemba Walker.
Yeah, he's straight up carrying that team in my top five as well. And like Evan said, in the fourth quarter, he's averaging almost 10 points per game. And I know he had that big game against the Bucks early in the year where he almost brought them back. So definitely putting a load on his shoulders. And it's nice to see him kind of get some of the attention he's deserved because he's been really good the last few seasons. But who else we got?
Number four, I'm going Blake Griffin, who obviously had one of the best individual performances of the season. And honestly, that I've ever seen in his 50-point game against the Sixers. He had one stinker at home against Boston, but rebounded last night with a good game. Dwayne Casey's made Blake Griffin Detroit's point guard, and he's responded by having the ball in his hands every possession and putting up huge numbers. His three looks improved, his pull-up jumper in the mid-range. He looks like he's healthier, moving better than he has in past years. He's finishing at the rim. He's a really good playmaker, and he still doesn't get enough credit for how good of a passer he is. I think he's playing some solid defense too, and rebounding at a high level. I mean, he's a pretty complete player. And for a player that people thought was washed up, it's pretty incredible. And definitely it's awesome to see that he's not only has some left in the tank, I think he's improved as well.
Yeah, Blake Griffin was the odd man out on my list. But for sure, I mean, 51-point game, he definitely looks healthy. He looks really good this year. I went with Joel Embiid in this spot. I mean, Embiid is the offensive juggernaut for that Sixers team. I actually think he's got to be used more for them to be effective this year, only because of their lack of spacing. You know, 27 points per game, 11.8 rebounds, 2.1 blocks. When Joel Embiid is healthy, he's top three center in the league, maybe even the best center, depending on the night. So for me, it's been Embiid.
Yeah, Blake, I have Blake and Embiid, you know, like you guys said. Blake put up that giant game, 50 points against Philly, you know, 27-10 and 4 on the season. And like Evan said, he's pretty much playing point guard. Three-point shot is at 48%. Obviously, that's going to come down. And Dwayne Casey's really unlocked him. And like you said, Corey, Embiid has almost been carrying the Sixers. You know, Simmons has struggled at times. That whole Markelle Fultz thing isn't really working out. I know he had a consecutive streak of 20-point and 10-rebound games. Then obviously the blocks out there too. The only thing that I would say that might hurt Embiid is some of his antics haven't looked as good this season. You know, that whole thing with Andre Drummond flopping and getting him attacked, I don't think people really like that. But his on-court has been great.
No doubt. Yeah, I had Embiid 5 too, so he rounded out my list. He's been balling. The Sixers obviously have had some problems, but he's been the one constant.
And just think about him with some shooting. You know, he doesn't have very good spacing at all right now. He's still putting up giant numbers. If they can make a move for a Kyle Korver or somebody like that, help them add some space in that team where guys could actually just shoot the ball. But, Corey, who's your last one?
My last person is the probably the predictable pick, and that's Victor Oladipo.
Nice. You
know, what a surprise.
I mean, he had a slow game one. Well, not even a slow game one. They blew out the Grizzlies in game one, so he didn't get to play a lot. And then he was a little rough against the Milwaukee Bucks in game two. But he's had over 20 points in every game besides the first game, which was a blowout. He's already had a few games where he's almost been near a triple-double. There's a little bit of everything. And as a lot of people know from last year, this Pacers team is still very heavily driven by how Victor Oladipo is playing. And the Pacers, you know, are off to a decent start at 4-3. And Oladipo's been the same. He's been impressive to me. And I think once this team gets more chemistry, we're going to actually see some of these high comments and high praise he had going into the year.
Yeah, definitely more minutes will help. Like you said, they might be a little bit down from having some blowouts. Evan, who was right on the cusp for you that just didn't get in?
Victor's a good choice, but if I had to pick a six man, I would go Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
Toronto. He's been balling. I mean, he's had 12 assists, I think, already in like four separate games. I think he only did that in four games all of last year. I don't think he missed a shot the first couple of games. And he's still one of the best on-ball defenders in the league. He's been incredible.
Yeah, he leads the NBA in assists right now. Obviously, the high energy and, like, the spunk he brings to that team. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of talk about him being unhappy to start the season with DeRozan leaving. So I think that's pretty big. But moving on to the West, who are we starting off with, Evan?
I'm going to go with Steph first. You really could do pick a warrior. But I'll go Steph just because the 51-point game against the Wizards was so incredible. And I think, you know, he kind of got forgot about in the whole MVP discussion. And sometimes Durant and Curry can just cancel each other out. But Curry just looks better than ever. He's just so smart. He just takes the right shots. He's making incredible his range. He's getting to the rim, passing. Just everything is just clicking so well. And his efficiency is off the charts. I just got to go Steph first.
Steph is on my list as well. There's a couple worries on my list, actually. But Steph has definitely been in the MVP conversation even. It's almost one of those – I mentioned this the other day in Philox's Hoops that he's one of those guys where I feel like we forget that the Warriors are in all these conversations for awards. And then you watch a game and you see Steph drop 51. You go, oh, you're right. This is, you know, this is an MVP candidate. This is a two-time MVP champion or a winner. He's been outstanding. It just feels like on any given night, one of those guys is going to drop 50 points at this point.
Yeah.
But Curry's been amazing. And I mean, the other night against the Nets, I watched that full game and he was on fire in that first half. Sorry, Nick.
Thanks, Corey. No, but I got a Steph, obviously. He's been dominant. He's clearly been the best point guard in the league. You know, he's just causing so many problems. I don't know if teams fear any other player more than they fear Steph coming off a screen just because it's so hard to defend. Then offensive rebounds, it seems like he's always finding the open spot in the corner, get his threes up. He does a great job of getting open, knocking down the shots. And like you guys said, the efficiency is crazy. 54% from the field, over 51% from three on over 11 attempts a game. You know, we see guys shoot high numbers from three percentage-wise, but nowhere near those attempts.
He's ridiculous.
Who else you got, Evan?
Number two, I'm going to go with my guy Jokic on Denver, who's led his team's doing really well, and he's been the center of it. I mean, his efficiency, he had that one game earlier in the season against the Suns where he had like 35 points and he made 11 for 11 shots and just destroyed DeAndre Ayton. His pass, he's maybe already the best passing big man ever, and I think his defense has been very improved this year. The Nuggets as a team have improved defensively. He's still not a leader or anything like that, but I don't think he's a turnstile anymore. And just in the post, he's a monster. He shoots 40% from deep. He has a mid-range. He really has it all, and his craftiness is just on another level. He has to be in the top five.
Yeah, he's in my top five too. The triple double that other night where he had, you know, the triple double, didn't miss a shot, and had zero turnovers in like 30 minutes. You don't see that, especially from a center position. I know we talked about that on that episode of the NBA Outlet. He's been incredible. The Nuggets are off to a big start because they're actually running their offense through Jokic, and you know he's definitely arrived as one of the elite centers in this league, and yeah. A really good interviewer too. He gives some really funny sound bites unintentionally.
Yeah, I love Jokic too as well. He's been top five, like you guys said. He's been super dominant passer, and like we talked about a little bit, Corey, he just like doesn't miss layups inside. Obviously, not missing a field goal in a game is huge. He's been a big part of what Denver's doing. Who else has got in the top five?
Anthony Davis, and I know he just got banged up a little bit with the elbow injury, but his start to the season for the Pelicans was awesome. And I think it's just more the impact he has on that team. When he's on that court, I think they're one of the best four teams in the West. And then when he's either injured or on the bench, I mean, they fall apart. He's so key to their defense. I mean, maybe the best shot blocker in the game. Can switch on so many different positions. His length causes so many problems. And then his ability to finish, and then his perimeter jumper looks better on offense. He's definitely, I think, when healthy, should be the front runner MVP candidate, and when just maybe coming close to the best player in the league. He just lifts up all his teammates to another level.
He's also in my top five for almost every reason you said, Evan. He's tremendous when he's out there on the floor. Nick has even mentioned in the past that this has probably been one of his best all-around starts, especially because of the defensive end. That Pelicans team is off to a really good start because of Davis and company. But Davis, for me, is just – when he's healthy, there's nobody better or nobody as versatile as him. His height is just so tough. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's been huge. You know, dominant on both ends, like you said, not only offensively but defensively, averaging almost 4 blocks a game, 2.5 steals. He's just a presence, a guy where you can't really drive to the rim on him. He's so athletic. He's finally understanding how good he really is, so obviously a big year. And I agree with you, Evan. I think this is a top four team in the West when AD is healthy and things are clicking. But what else we got in the top five?
Well, this one's kind of boring, but I have to put him in. And even though their team is struggling, I got to go LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, he's still – and I know defensively he's still pretty lazy early in the season, which is kind of a bummer. But, man, he's making that offense click, I think, faster than people thought, even with the lack of shooting, even with the suspensions they had, changing up their rotation. They've still been a pretty good offense, and it's because LeBron is still freaking awesome. I mean, he's still averaging 27 points. He's still, one of the best passers in the game, rebounding at a high level. He's still, he just has to be in the top five.
He's not in my top five.
Wow.
I didn't put him in.
I couldn't put him off.
And granted, he is top five in essence. I mean, like, this is like LeBron James, but there are five people in the West that I think have had better starts of their year, whether or not it's because the team is playing better or not. I left LeBron off my list, and I knew what I was getting myself into when I did it. But there's guys who have been more impressive than me. So the next guy up on my list, I should probably follow that up with a guy, right? It's Kevin Durant. Obviously Durant, even though his 3-point percentage hasn't been great, he's still averaging 28, 7, 6. And it still feels like he can get any shot he wants at any point in time that he wants. And he's the last Warrior in my top five, by the way. It's just Durant and Curry. But those two guys are absolute monsters.
Yeah, I went with LeBron and actually KD. I have both of them in there. I think LeBron, we kind of almost take him for granted. The fact he's averaging 27, 9, and 8 on 50% from the field, it's almost a triple-double. And none of us probably would think that LeBron's playing great right now. He definitely has multiple gears to hit ahead of that. And like you said, Corey, Kevin Durant just has that ability to take over. It's just like any given night, you know, how are you going to defend Steph? How are you going to defend KD? What about Klay? And then the rest of the pieces on that team. So both those guys for me.
Yeah, Durant was my last guy. No one can turn it on like he can. I was at the Knicks game. He didn't do anything for the first three quarters, and then he just like, I'm going to destroy this team now, and drop 25 in the fourth. And no, he's the best scorer in the game in terms of efficiency, how easy he makes it look. He's got every move in the world. So, yeah, he's my top five.
Now, the last person, who do you have, DeMar?
Yes. DeMar DeRozan a shout out for how he's played this year. And this is LeBron is number six for me on my list. I had to give DeMar DeRozan some early season props. I didn't expect him to fit in this quickly. Obviously he's not hitting threes, but the mid-range game is lethal. Him as a playmaker is extremely fun to watch. I got to see the Spurs and Pacers play the other night. I just like DeRozan on this Spurs team. He's the closer. He just looks to me more confident as like the set leader of this team in a way. DeRozan's been outstanding through six games.
Yeah, I think DeRozan's right there. He definitely is right on the cusp. I think obviously I went with LeBron, but who was right on the cusp for you, Evan?
My sixth man on the cusp was actually Damian Lillard.
Dame was another right good there choice. Too, yeah.
He looks like he just, obviously the playoffs are brutal last year. I think he's coming into this year just mad at everyone, and he's just been – he's averaging like 33 points. I don't know his percentage, but it's absolutely ridiculous. The Blazers are looking really good, and I didn't pick them to miss the playoffs. I thought things would go the extra direction, but they have impressed. And Lillard just keeps finding a way to get better and better, and he's near unstoppable.
Yeah, and he's a really good leader for that team that doesn't have a ton of, like, super talented pieces. You always see him kind of hyping up Zach Collins and trying to get him to take that next level. Dame is definitely a guy that's right there as well. I like any other guys you feel like we didn't get enough love to?
I mean, we could give some shout-outs to guys like Zach LaVine who have had a decent offensive outputting, but that Pit Bulls team plays no defense, so do I care?
Yeah.
They give up 92 points and a half. I mean, come on now.
Insane.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I think we got it pretty much covered with the top guys. I'm sure there's probably one guy we forgot, but moving on from there, out of the bad teams in the league, you know, teams going to the season we had in the bottom 10, which team has really surprised you the most in a good or bad way?
The Wizards. I mean, they're 1-6 now. I watched the game in Memphis. They actually played with some more effort, so that was a good part. But, man, this team has a lot of issues, chemistry-wise, offense, defense, isolating coaching. It just – the fact that this team with this talent is 1-6 is mind-blowing. And I know everyone before sees like this team could blow up. I still thought they would make the playoffs. I thought there would be a 6 seed. I thought there would be too much talent. But Porter is struggling. Austin Rivers is giving them nothing. Ian Mahimi kills them every minute he's on the court, and that contract's brutal. The John Wall Beal thing is still off. I hate a lot of Scott Brooks' rotation. Like, I hate them. They're playing Jeff Green tons of minutes. Like, and I guess a few nights ago they played the Clippers. I watched it, and it looked like a tanking team effort at the end of the season. And I was like, this is still the first week, and they're just not trying, like, at all.
Do you think the Wizards will make a trade?
Yes.
Do you think they'll trade a big piece? Right? Or do you think they'll try to bring in something with a first-round pick, or they'll trade a big piece and try to really mess things up and try to switch it up?
I feel like it's going to be a switch up. And I think it centers around Otto Porter Jr. probably as the guy they'd want to move first. But I don't know. I know I said I didn't feel this way last episode, but I think Bradley Beal might be the guy they move just because he's worth more.
They could get the most for him. I would definitely consider it because I just think the Wall Beal thing is it's run its course, and it's hard to trade Wall with that contract. And Beal is still an excellent player, and he could help a lot of teams, and the contract's not too bad. I would look into it.
Yeah, it's definitely a name I think Zach Lowe might have brought up, or Woj brought up on the podcast, talking about that would be a guy that would get the most value. And look at Beal, and he can fit so well in so many different systems. We really saw him excel last year without Wall. So something to really keep an eye on. You mentioned Otto Porter. Just like, are they going to be able to move that contract, especially the way that he's playing right now?
Yeah, he struggled.
Terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems like it's a confidence thing, and that he's not getting the ball. We'll see what happens, obviously, the rest of the season. But who's been a surprise bad team for you, Corey, good or bad?
For me, it's been the Houston Rockets.
Ooh.
The 1-6 start or 1-5 start. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I didn't think this team was going to be as good as they were last year, but I didn't expect them just to be this wretched on offense and defense, because the offense is just as bad as the defense. I think they're ranked 26th in offensive rating and like 28th in defense. Like, it's just the entire team is bad. And you can't blame it all on Carmelo Anthony, because he is an issue. I think he shot like 2 of 16 last night, 31 minutes. I mean, he's god awful, but this team has a lot of holes, and it seems like the only way to kind of plug this sinking ship is to do everything you can to get Jimmy Butler.
Do you guys think that they'll have a real shot at Jimmy Butler over the next few weeks? Obviously, that was one of the three teams still interested in him. Do you think Butler's going to end up in Houston, or you think he'll end up somewhere else?
I mean, it's obviously the report came out today that Butler's resting, and now there's even more pressure on moving him. I mean, Houston offered freaking 4 first-round picks, and Minnesota's still considering. I would say yes to that in a second.
Yeah, but, especially on an expiring deal for Butler. It's not like he's on contract.
Exactly, but I mean they're a mess, and that's a different conversation. But I still think the Rockets will find a way to get it done, and I predict he goes there.
Yeah, I think somehow the Rockets make a move for him. They'll do whatever they have to. If it includes having to throw in a PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon, maybe they do it. I think at this point you need to get more star power. It's just how the league is, even though I'm not a big fan of it.
Yeah, I think they'll probably wait James Harden, you know, his back, see how he's doing, and then probably go from there. But I think they'll keep their foot on the pedal to try to push that forward. I think they're looking at favorites because they're possibly the most desperate. Another team brought up was the Sixers. They're looking pretty bad. He'd obviously helped them a lot. And Miami's been mentioned, obviously, for the last 2 months. But for me, the surprising team, I think, is the Sacramento Kings. You know, it's a team we thought was going to be really bad going into the year. And now they're 5-3, 14th in net rating, 14th offensive rating, 15th defensive rating. Guys like De'Aaron Fox are playing better. Willie Cauley-Stein, Amon Shumpert's back. You know, Buddy Hill, Marvin Bagley's impressed. Bill Leitz has been really good for them. So Sacramento, I know my guy Harris Richard's been messaging me about them playing so well. Like, I did not expect this. I thought they were probably going to be one of the bottom five teams in the league. And right now they're looking a lot better, and they don't even have Bogdanovich.
Yeah, they've impressed.
Fun. They are super fun to watch, and I haven't said that about the Kings since, like, Chris Webber was there.
Yeah, it's really good for the franchise to really see them at least get things going in the right direction. I think their pace is really high, too, which is something different for them.
Yeah, they finally joined the modern NBA with pace and space, which, who knew, is actually working out for them.
But, what a surprise.
But yeah, Bill Leitz has been huge. Fox has improved. Cauley-Stein in a contract year has been massive. And I still don't know why Buddy Hield is so underrated, but that guy is really good. He's like a really good shooter.
And I think he cooked in his last game, too. It's definitely a team to keep an eye on. Obviously, I don't think they'll get into the playoffs, but they're not going to be a fun out for anybody during the regular season. Any other bad team surprise, good or bad?
No, I think the Wizards would have been my only other choice because of how just a simple mess they've been.
Portland good is surprising for me, or how good they are.
Yeah, I actually picked them to miss the playoffs as well, and they've definitely picked it up, and Nick Stauskas has played really well, and I did not expect that at all. I thought Zach Collins would make a nice jump, but I thought after last year they'd lose some confidence in that playoff series, but not the case.
Yeah, no, they've been tough. Collins has been so much better. Seth Curry's nice. Stauskas. They finally have Evan Turner basically just playing backup point guard, which is the only useful role for him. So that's working. And then Lillard, as we talked about earlier, just been off the chain.
Yeah, he's been nuts. It's always nice to see him cook. And he usually does this after All-Star break. Let's see what happens when he does it for a whole season. But moving on to obviously the huge game the other night by Klay Thompson against the Bulls, 52 points in 27 minutes, you know, 18-29 from the field, 14-24 from deep, and obviously set the record for most threes made in the game with 14. How remarkable was that game from Klay? He's just an incredible guy to just put up these scoring outputs in a timely manner.
I mean, it's incredibly impressive, obviously, when you do anything that breaks an NBA record, and the fact that he did it on so few dribbles. He's the best maybe heat check guy in NBA history because he's had these outbursts before, the 60-point game, the 37-point quarter, and it was so great since he was struggling before in the year and then now to go off like this. But honestly, watching it, I didn't feel that impressed because it was just like, it felt like an all-star game. It felt like the Bulls were in on it too. And they were just like giving him threes and just like catch and shoot. Like it almost didn't feel like a real game. Obviously, it is still impressive, but I don't know. That's how it felt to me. Just it felt like, God, the Bulls just stink so hard.
It's like they didn't care that he was going to set the record. They're like, oh, we'll let Klay put up his threes. Don't worry about it, guys. You know, our defense is bad. It'll continue to be bad.
Exactly. It's weird.
I mean, it was no doubt a terrible effort by the Bulls. I mean, 92 points in the first half. Some of the transitional defense by that Bulls team in that game too, like you guys said, just giving away easy buckets and possessions. Didn't feel like they cared if Klay was going to get a record or not. There's deeper issues there, but Klay, absolutely phenomenal scorer. He scored 60 on the Pacers with 11 dribbles, 90 seconds holding the ball. He doesn't need much. He's honestly a freak of nature when it comes to that. And there's no wonder why there's, you know, the constant rumors that LeBron James wants Klay Thompson next year in Los Angeles, because who wouldn't want a guy who is low maintenance, plays good defense, and just catches and shoots?
He just randomly wins you games during the regular season. So, guys, I'm feeling really hot today. Let me just set a record real quick.
He helped win that their first title. He got hot against OKC in that when they were down 3-1.
Yeah, that was obviously a super big performance, probably one of his biggest performances in a Warriors uniform. Talking Warriors, Do you think this will be the possibly the best Warriors season we've seen, you know, since this little dynasty they've had? Obviously, we saw Steph drop 50-plus, now Klay 50-plus. We talked about KD dominating against the Knicks. It just seems like they're starting to click, and then, oh, yeah, they're going to get back this guy named DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they'll top the 73 wins that they did a few years ago, but in terms of just chemistry, how all their stars are playing at the same time, how they're all clicking, there's a Marcus Cousins things work, which I think it will. This can definitely be the best Warriors team. I think there's a lot of competition with the rest of the league, and there's a lot of parity without, but the Warriors are still on another level.
I mean, I see this. I agree. I mean, I don't think this team beats their record previously set, but I think this is a team that could win 70-plus games. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they won 71, you know, won 71 and 11. When this thing is all done, they're healthy right now, which is obviously going to be a big factor in it. And they just look hungrier so far to start this year than they did last year. Last year, they just felt kind of complacent. There wasn't that edge. I feel more of an edge from them this year. Like this, for some reason, this year and this run to me feels like it means more to them than it did last year for whatever reason.
Three-peats are big, obviously, you know, and they want to start it right. And I think in the postseason, we'll see them just drive through everybody. Even though they might not have the best record that they've ever had, do you think this will be the best team, you know, in terms of performance out there, what we'll see in the playoffs and what we'll see in the finals?
I think so.
Yes, definitely. I think they're going to run train through the West.
Especially with the guys just clicking, like you guys mentioned, the chemistry. And then when Cousins comes back, you know, what happens with that? And, you know, they'll probably – some like buyout guy that wants to win a ring too. So things in Golden State are looking pretty nice right now. Passing it to you, Corey, hit us with your segment today.
Seat check, the first ever edition of Coach's Honor. Well, is their seat hot, warm, or cold? Seat check. So first off, a team we already mentioned, the, what are they, 1-6 or 1-5 Washington Wizards? 1-6 now, I believe, right?
Yeah, 1-6 after
last night. 1-6 Washington Wizards. With Scott Brooks, what's the seat check?
Man, they say he's okay. They just made a statement, and he's likely not to be fired in the season. But
I saw that too. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either. If this keeps going, you have to make some sort of change. You can't just accept it. I'd say this seat is definitely still hot. As I said earlier, I don't think he's a good coach anyway. So I would have fired him earlier, but. It's a hot seat for sure. I don't buy what they're saying.
100% agree, Evan. I think a hot seat. I think they said it. I think Woj said on his pod as well. He checked in on a Ty Lue situation on like Saturday, and they said everything was okay. He wasn't going to get fired. Next thing, Sunday morning, Ty Lue fired. So I think things can really change quickly. They were to have like a 1-10 or a 2-10 start. He's gone. And if he isn't gone during the season, he's definitely gone in the offseason.
For sure.
Yeah, I think Scott Brooks' tenure in general is definitely coming to an end. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it happen maybe even a couple months from now for sure. Next up on Seat Check, Billy Donovan and the somewhat getting hotter Oklahoma City Thunder.
I would say it's warm, and if things do spiral, I could definitely see it happening. But I thought last night was really big for them. Just beating the shit out of a decent team at home is good for confidence.
Huge Paul George. Quarter.
Paul George had his best game of the season by far. So did Westbrook. Adams was really good. And as the three of them are good, that should be enough on most nights. I'm not as worried about them, despite the depth and shooting issues, as a lot of people are.
Yeah, I think his seat is probably warm. I don't know if it's it could get hot. I would say it's warm right now, depending on what happens. But I agree with Evan. I think last night might have been a turning point for them. Huge third quarter. Westbrook is back now. He'll get to 100%. That Patrick Beverley thing kind of spiked him up a bit. They do play some nice young wings off the bench. Obviously, they can't shoot yet. Maybe they can develop a little bit farther in the season. And another team that I think will probably make a trade that's been mentioned with trying to add some more spacing.
I'd agree with that. Next up on the seat check, I mean – this probably isn't really a heat check, but Luke Walton, the Lakers are 2-5. Is Luke Walton's seat heating up at all? LeBron had a little patience, you know, quote the other day that when he loses patience, you'll know. Are the Lakers going to press him? I know Mike Brown, right?
Yeah.
He got fired after like, what, 5 games under Kobe? What's Luke Walton's seat check under?
Well, by being coaching LeBron and coaching LA, by default, you're always going to have a hot seat. That just is what it is. I actually think Luke's a good coach. I thought this team would start slow. He has a lot to figure out with terms of rotations, his best lineups, all that. And then he had the suspensions thrown on top. I hope he doesn't get fired, but it wouldn't blow my mind. So I guess warm.
Yeah, I would go with warm just because of what Evan said. You know, you're coaching LeBron, obviously championship or bust is always the mentality, even though they're in the West and they're going to have to face the Warriors. And then also the factor of being in L.A. and there's just expectations being there. And I don't think he's done a bad job either. It's going to take a lot of time for guys to adjust to playing with LeBron and coaching LeBron. And there's a lot of young guys on this team still, too.
Definitely a lot of young guys still on the team. The final seat check goes to the Chicago Bulls' Fred Hoiberg. After them giving up 92 points in the first half, I kind of just had the thought that maybe this is the next guy we could possibly see fired, because this Bulls team, obviously, I don't know what their expectations were going into the year, but they just haven't been good under Hoiberg the last couple of years. So Fred Hoiberg, what's the seat check?
I'm going to say no, just because that team is so terrible, and I think ownership understands that. I don't know a lot of coaches who would succeed. Now, obviously, the defensive effort has been just embarrassing, and we knew they would be bad on defense anyway, but I don't think yet, unless like things just like real, they just keep getting blown out every single night. But for now, I think he's okay.
Yeah, I would say probably – I would say cold, because they kind of knew going to the season they weren't going to be great and they can get another high draft pick. So maybe if he goes into the offseason, he has a higher chance of getting fired. But I think right now he should be okay, unless they're really thinking playoffs in Chicago. If that's the case, then he probably won't last the whole season.
I hope not.
And that's it for the seat check, fellas.
All right. Great stuff, Corey. Seat check, new segment on the NBA outlet. Evan, big thanks for hopping on. Tell everyone where they can find you and find your work.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You can find me at OTG. I write for At The Hive and the NBA Analysis Network as well. And you can listen to Players Watch, my podcast, which is on iTunes, and on Twitter at Evan Dial.
Sweet. As always, Evan, great talking hoops with you. Corey, always a pleasure. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.